Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over-under game. Just head on over to Sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit of up to $100. That's Sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to check out our relaunch merch store when you get all of your favorite SGPN gear. Just go to store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com.
Howdy-ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 165. This went out to a couple of our fans who gave us five-star reviews, which we appreciate. Irish Dave and Mr. Kurtz, thank you for the five-star reviews. Rather than drilling you're our guest, so listeners, so we shouldn't be telling you every week to give us five-star reviews, so instead we'll just reward people that do. How's that? That's my way of asking for reviews. So thank you for those people for giving us reviews. And I agree, we really are the greatest and worth five stars. So who are we, though? You may ask. I am one of the hosts here, Jeff Chalks Fox, the Chalky, one of the duo, here to break down another UFC event coming to us this Saturday. I wanted to say Friday, but no, we already did our Friday picks for you. Last episode, if you want to go back, you can hear our picks for a couple of regional events going down on Friday. But no, this is the usual Saturday UFC going down from the UFC Apex this week. We're going to break down. So I'm the Chalky one. Now my more risky, less risk averse co-host, he's known as the Gumby God. Let's bring him into the fray here. His name is Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
Hey, speaking of our Tuesday show comes out on Monday.
Yeah.
Where I predicted all the odds. Did you see they posted odds for some of those?
You nailed so many of them. You're always way off on one for some reason, but you nail all the others, it seems.
Yeah, the Buns versus Cruz fight from LFA, I messed up real bad. I was like, Buns might be a slight underdog or like even money, but I like him anyway. And apparently the books like him too. He's -300. But the one that stuck out to me that I missed slightly that I was pretty into is I thought Adrian Guzman fighting Devin Brock would be about even money or even a slight favorite, +155. So maybe that's the play of the whole show. So go back and listen to those breakdowns if you'd like, but otherwise just enjoy LFA and Fury FC and those picks I just told you about.
Yep, there you go. So make sure you go back to episode 164 for those, because you definitely want to get in some degen action on a Friday night, of course. So, all right, we're going to break down the UFC for you. UFC one, not, I want to give it a number. I guess it may be a number. It's actually UFC on ESPN, Dos Anjos versus Fiziev, aka UFC and ESPN 39, aka what else do we want to call it? UFC Vegas 58. Do you want to call it anything else, Dan?
I like Vegas 58.
Yeah, it's short and sweet, and that's what I will be calling it on the articles that I write on the sportsgamblingpodcast.com website, where I will be breaking down this fight. I'll be doing a write-up on it, but picks don't usually change from what I tell you on the podcast. A few of my picks have changed since I listened to the Top Turtle MMA podcast, which probably isn't a smart thing to do because I tend to have more success here than you, Dan. So I really shouldn't let myself be swayed, but you're persuasive.
But isn't a lot of your success just reeling in the breakdowns that I give you and deciding how much of it you like?
Maybe. I am an editor by profession, so yes, maybe I just edit Dan's nonsense, spit out the nonsense, keep the good stuff. So maybe I didn't change, but it helped like solidify maybe some of my picks is more what I'm saying. Because Dan on his other family, the Top Turtle podcast, did some breakdowns, interviewed Courtney Casey, interviewed I'm gonna remember who you interviewed other. I want to say David Onama, but it wasn't him. You interviewed.
That's really random. I had an interview scheduled with David Onama before he got pulled from his fight. So I was like, it's all right. We can just do it when you get a fight rebooked. And it got rebooked yesterday, which obviously we don't have, didn't have time to like redo it for then.
I remember you interviewed a guy named Chow.
Kai Chow Bohio. Yeah, my co-host. Oh. My co-host said Chow Bohio.
he called him Chow multiple times, which I enjoyed because
It's good.
And guess who didn't rag on him? Dan didn't rag on him because Gumby only rags on me when I mispronounce.
It's less funny when he does because he's got a pronunciation key usually.
but there's going to be plenty of opportunities for me to pronounce things correctly or incorrectly this week. So we got some interesting names. It's 12 fights, I think. We got 11 fights. 11 fight card. No, we got David Onama now. So we're back up to 12. Maybe not the most thrilling fight card on paper, but a lot of times those are the ones that come through as massively exciting cards. So like I said, I was kind of flippy floppy, wishy washy on a few of my picks. I think I like where I landed on things now. So this is as our new regular for us. This will be our picks for all the prelim fights. So it looks like we're going to end up with 7, and then we'll be back in your ears tomorrow, or your ear holes, or wherever you want to stick us tomorrow with the main card, our props, parlays, recommended plays, Superfan Jong's, Hunger Man Jong's picks, which we have someone made a very nice graphic for, which I'm sure you'll see on the SGPN MMA Twitter feed very soon if you haven't already. I guess you haven't had a chance to use it yet, right? Because we haven't made picks for it yet.
No, not yet.
So there you go. That's something we're subscribing for right there. So and people, I'm getting feedback. People are enjoying the extra content. We're tricking them, Dan. They think they get extra stuff from us, but really, I guess we're putting a bit more
time and effort into it. There's more out there. It used to be the Sunday show. If we couldn't find odds for a card, we just do the recap. But now, if we can't find odds, we make them.
It's true, and he's very damn good at making it. So perhaps he's got another profession. If people see through all his crappy picks on this podcast, maybe Dan can be a lines maker.
+700 last week, by the way.
It's true. He hit a +700. That's why he's going to be God. He hit a +700 pick. All right. Let's get into this card first. Win. No, not WYN. I'm talking about Win Las Vegas, WYNN. Make sure to get down on the Wins bet $50 Win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets and the ultimate fantasy football experience. Bet $500 or more on sports or casino before July 31st, so you got 3 weeks, a little over 3 weeks, and get entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including 2-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Multiple entries are allowed. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit WynnBET.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where a playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Should I move on to sleeper? I feel like I may cough because I'm still a little under the weather. No, let's do it. Now on to sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I use it for mine. It's a game changing product, and like anything else in the industry. And now you can make money on sleeper too by playing their new over under game. It's super simple. First in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over under. For example, number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. The main reason we are all excited about the over-under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join your My Buddies contest and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to write it out together. I say take a swig of water. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. Dan's going to make some picks. And while he's making picks, I'm going to run and get another thing of water. All right, Dan.
Go. So that means I got to stall a little bit while he runs around. So while I have your candid audience here, I'm going to tell you to go pick on Sleeper on the 7th, which would be tomorrow if you're listening to this the day that it comes out. I'm going to take Max Fried in the over on strikeouts on the Cardinals. Fried has been hot lately. The Braves have been hot lately. While the Cardinals don't strike out a ton and actually have the three highest guys in baseball reference war, Max Fried in his last five games has struck out at least six in four out of five and at least eight in three out of those five. So go get in on Max Fried's over on strikeouts. And is Jeff back?
I'm back. And is Braves again? You and your Braves.
I like Max Fried.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So take that Max Fried pick. Go to your mobile phone. Join your listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right. Join our squad and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. I may as well tell you about the merch store now that I'm not going to cough. We've relaunched the SGPN merch store. Tons of awesome gear from your favorite shows. SGPN shows, of course, like ours. Here's what you do. Go to store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. That's store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com and buy some gear. Rep the show. Rep the network. As I cough. I don't feel sick, but of course the cough is going to be there now that I'm recording. It's not like Moonoff did a few weeks ago on the MLB Gambling Podcast, but they're big shoes to fill. All right. I already told you what event we're breaking down for you. It is going down Saturday, July 9th from the UFC Apex. Of course, as per usual, I don't have a start time for you because I always forget to look up a start time. Just like, once again, just like an MLB gambling podcast thing where Malcolm forgets to break down the Mets, even though he's, now that I mentioned it, he's remembering to do it now. So it's no fun for me. All right.
It's a 6 p.m. start time.
It's 6 p.m. Thank you. 6 p.m. Eastern. Are the prelims, and they are on something with ESPN at the beginning, I believe. ESPN2 and ESPN Plus. And then we got, 8 o'clock or 9, I think I saw it. 9 o'clock Eastern main card on the big ESPN and ESPN Plus. Those cards used to be stacked, but I guess you wouldn't really call this a stacked card. But nonetheless, this is even Jong isn't, super fan Jong and the SGPN Slack isn't super stoked for this card, but it doesn't matter. We're degens. We're going to make money on it regardless.
Yeah, that's true. And I will say there's a couple of pretty good fights in here too, including the first one we're going to talk about. That it's a damn good fight.
This is not for the casual this card, but you should watch it regardless. You can make money. Plus, a lot of these we have a lot of fun up and comers and potential for violence. Hashtag violence, blood. All right, you talk about this bantamweight fight, Ronnie Lawrence and Said Yokob Kakramanov. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I love this fight.
Because the name's Kakramanov. Is that why?
No, because I really wanted you to mess up saying Said Yokob Kakramanov, but you didn't. No?
You're not going to say I love Kakramanov?
I'm a big fan of Said Yokob.
You're not going to say that for me? Oh, boy. All right, fine. I wanted to get a good sound bite, but I didn't. All right. We're going to talk with him first. Kakramanov. He's from where, Dan?
I believe he's Uzbek, if I'm not mistaken. He's from Uzbekistan.
Uzbekian. All right. He's 9-2, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's 1-0 in the UFC via submission. He's won 3 straight fights, all via finish. He was a Cage Fury champ, 0-1 in PFL. He used to fight at featherweight, inch reach on Lawrence, 3 years younger. Positive strike differential of 1.64. So that if you haven't listened to this before, that's a new, not a new stat, but a new stat that I just started tracking, meaning he outstrikes his opponent in the UFC 1.64 strikes per minute. But that's only based off of one fight. This stat is tracking fighters who have a better career striking differential than their opponent are winning 68% of the time since I started tracking a few events ago. Still very small sample size, but that's, pretty decent number, 68%. So something we will continue continue to track and keep an eye on, because if it stays up at that percentage, that will be a key determinant, at least for me, to pick fights. It makes sense. A fighter that's more, that lands more than they get landed on, wins more fights than their opponent, makes more sense. So, all right, Lawrence, as I clumsily tell you about that, let's talk about Lawrence. The Heat, 8-1, 4 knockouts, never been finished in a fight, 2-0 in UFC, 1-0 in Contender Series. That's part of a 5-fight winning streak. 0-1 in Bellator. That's where his only loss was in Bellator. 1.4 times more active landing strikes than Kakhramonov. He also has a positive striking differential, slightly better than Kakhramonov, plus 1.92. So he almost outlands his opponent by 2 strikes per minute. He also has grappling on his side, at least stat-wise. Better grappling stats. Minus 135. He's got the bookies on his side as well. Does he have you on his side, Dan?
Okay, am I leading it off?
You're my guest.
I'll take Roddy Lawrence in this one, and I'm going to actually take him pretty confidently in this fight, too. While I like Sadyakub Kakhramonov, and I really liked his debut fight against Trevin Jones, I just think that Roddy Lawrence is, like, more of a complete package, and Roddy Lawrence might be less exciting, because Kakhramonov's got, like, you know, a little bit flashier knockout power in his hands. He's a little bit more daring on the mat going for submissions, but, like, as we saw in Roddy Lawrence, both in his Contender Series fight and both of his fights since then, he's just like, he does the very technical, very smart thing right all the time. You know, like, he looked a little shaky at the end of the fight with Mana Martinez, but that's just mostly because Mana Martinez, I think, is wildly underrated and just like, I mean, like an absolute gamer at all times and like keeps himself in fights. But I think Kakhramonov is going to have like a tough time with the wrestling of Roddy Lawrence. Like you said, he's statistics wise, he's got a nice grappling advantage in there. I think here he's probably just going to take down Kakhramonov enough to win these fights, kind of grind him out, tire him out. So I got Roddy Lawrence here.
I have Roddy Lawrence as well. I think he's going to bring the heat in this fight, Dan. What do you think of that?
No, yep. That's an excellent breakdown.
Yes. I think he's more well-rounded than Kakhramonov. He's a very good fighter. Decent power, obviously. Struck out. I'm thinking baseball again. Knocked out half of his opponents. So let's go with Lawrence. Plus, I think Jong was like super all over him in the slack. Not that that's a determinant of winning or not, but I think he was all in on him, was he not?
Yeah, and although you haven't run that stat, you run almost every stat. You should run the stat about percentage of fighters that win Jong is quote unquote all over them.
It's true. I should. I'll have to ask John. I'll have to audit his books first of all and see exactly how he's doing on these picks. But he does eat out a lot, so he must have some money from his winnings. He's not going hungry at the very least. So all right, moving on. Light heavyweights. Is that the next one? Yeah. Carl Roberson versus Kennedy Enzichukwu. Who would have thought that Roberson would be the one that I mispronounced and not Enzichukwu? But regardless, Baby K will do first. Carl Robertson, 9-5, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted 4 times. So he's been finishing all of his losses by my math. 4-5 in the UFC. Lost 3 straight fights, all via finish. So he's pretty much fighting for his UFC career here, or at least this portion of his UFC career. Losing 4 straight, especially if he loses via finish, probably get you the walking papers. His last win was November of 2019, so we're into the third year since he won a fight. He's fight at down at middleweight. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. Striking stats are in his favor. Positive strike differential, a very small one of 0.33 strikes per minute. Grappling stats in his favor, plus 100. And Enzichukwu, the African Savage, 9-3 with 6 knockouts. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 3-3 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight. So this may be a loser leaves home match here. If either whoever loses this fight, we may be deciding to fire them on Sunday because we make these decisions on the podcast. So he also was on the Contender Series. We went 1-0. Used to fight at heavyweight. 4 inches height, 9 inches of reach. So you know who I'm picking. 2 years younger, almost 2 times more active landing strikes, 1.8 to be exact. Slightly worse striking differential than Robertson, but right in the same range of plus 0.23, minus 120 on Enzichukwu. I have more trust in this card. A lot of my picks is who do I have less trust in, and I'll go against that person. because there's a lot of fights where it's like, do I really have to pick someone here? But I'll take Enzo Chukwu. Trust him more, like his power. Plus, if he keeps on the feet, 9 inches of almost a foot and a half of, not quite, but 9 inches of reach. Is pretty crazy. Almost a foot of reach, we'll say. 3/4 of a foot of reach. So let's go with Enzo Chukwu.
Yeah, I also like Chukwu as well, mostly just because, like, so first of all, he comes from Fortis. He's got a good game plan. And second of all, like, while we're talking about him being on a 2-fight losing streak, I really think he won that fight with Nick Nagumaranu. Like, he lost a point in the last round, and I thought that meant he was going to win 3-0 and then just have a point taken away, so it was going to be 29-27. And somehow he lost a split decision. It was a real weird one to see judged that way. Like, I thought worst-case scenario it was a draw, and somehow two judges had it for Nagumaranu. So, yeah, like, I like Chukwu. I think, you know, you mentioned his record's not really great, but if you look at his losses, it's like, you know, the Nagumaranu fight that I didn't think he actually lost. He lost to Daun Jung, and he lost to Paul Craig. You know, there's really no shame in that. He's got great, great chin, considering he's at light heavyweight. Like, he took Carlos Alberg's best shots and then turned it around on Alberg. So, like, I actually think Chukwu has probably got, a pretty bright future still. He's a young guy for light heavyweight, too. And, yeah, I think ultimately Roberson's going to have a lot of trouble with that range.
But, Chukwu's got to get a win if he wants to still have a career in the UFC, pretty much. So we're both picking him to win, using the physical gifts to get this fight into the win column for himself. All right, this fight was just added. David Onama lost an opponent, but he found an opponent. And it's someone named Garrett Armfield. So Mr. Armfield will be taking this on short notice. I forgot. It's not even odds for this last time I checked. Have you seen odds for it yet, Dan? I'm checking now as I filibust here.
I don't seem to see them. No. Give me a second. I'll keep digging. But you go ahead and keep prepping. Okay. And I'll see if
I'll break her down. I'm going to assume the short notice debutant in the UFC, Armfield, is going to be our prohibited, as Malcolm would say, prohibited underdog here. He's 8-2, 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. We finished all of his opponents. He's submitted himself once. Like I said, short notice debut for him. He's the FAC champ coming into this fight. He's won 3 straight fights via finish because he's finished everyone. 2 years younger than Onama. Onama is the silent assassin. He's 9-1, 6 knockouts, 3 submissions. So he has finished everyone as well. Himself, never been finished in a fight. 1-1 in the UFC. Won his last fight via knockout. Used to fight up at lightweight. He beat Armfield in 2018 in an amateur fight. That's of note. He's 4 inches, has 4 inches height and 3 inches of reach on Armfield. Do we have a number, Dan?
I do not. Nope. They don't appear to be posted yet.
Give me a Dan Vreeland number and a pick then.
So I think you're probably going to see these guys open around, I don't know, if I had to guess, Onama minus 275, maybe negative 300. Whereas Armfield will be like in the low 200s, plus 200, 230, 235, somewhere like that. And I still like Onama. I will say this, like, you know, I recently wrote a column about, which you should check out on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, sg.pn. Yeah, like I think that a problem sometimes bettors make is you can fall in love with a guy coming to the UFC and forget about him making short notice up a weight class. Like, Armfield's taken this on, what, 3 days notice? We're recording here on Wednesday. He took it last night on Tuesday. So, like, Armfield's taking this on short notice. He's a bantamweight. He's not a featherweight. And there's a lot to like about Garrett Armfield. I've had my eye on him as a prospect for a while. You know, that last fight in FAC was really nice. He's kind of been fighting for those like Midwestern-y promotions for a while. I watched a really good one from him, in Shamrock, I think it was, that he was fighting in then. He's really promising. He's got good wrestling. He's got pretty sharp striking. But the problem is he's up a weight class against a guy who's really tough. I mean, like, Onama's fought up at lightweight, for Christ's sakes. And the other thing I noticed about Armfield, if you, like, go back and watch his fights, is that when he advances forward and is, like, trying to land shots, his hands come down away from his face a little bit. And really, against David Onama, a guy who just fucking lights people up, right? Like, Onama has got absolute dynamite in his hands. Like, that's a huge problem. And like, Armfield might be able to get some success in the wrestling department, but Onama, I mean, like, Onama stuffed Mason Jones enough to turn that into a tight fight. And that was him fighting a lightweight, not him fighting a bantamweight. So, like, I like a lot about Armfield. I think he's going to have some success at 135 when he drops down after this fight. I just don't think David Onama is going to be the guy he has the success against.
Yeah, I will be taking Onama as well. You said what? You said minus 275. You think we're going to get him at around?
Yeah, I would say I bet below negative 300 would be my guess. Okay. But like probably pretty close to it.
All right, late. If you want to know the stats, late replacement fighters, based on 179 fights. So this is a large sample size, 38% successful winning fights. So this year only 33%. So this is a very late replacement. Plus it's a debut, which often I guess is the case for late replacement. So another thing going against Armfield. So Onama is our pick. Dave is also our pick. If you're ever searching for some extra cash, level with me, people. We've all been in a situation at some point in our lives where we were a little light on, or a little tight or light on cash. Maybe you could only afford to put a few gallons. What country is this? We use liters here, but anyhow, gallons or liters of gas in your tank, or you got another save the date and are wondering how you're going to afford a gift. That's where Dave can help you, as well as our gambling picks, of course. You can finally tackle those expenses that have been stressing you out without any hangups. There's no interest and no credit check needed. So here's what you do. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. It's DAVE. Sign up for an extra cash account. You get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve, member of the FDIC. Excuse me. If you're online doing that, make sure you use an IP Vanish, because did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. But added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. That will be your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with a brand rate of 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to IPVanish.com/SGP. Use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. It's IPVanish.com/SGP. All right. Let's move along to what weight class should we move to now? Let's move to middleweights. How about Cody Brundage versus Sean Gore? Like I said, this will be down from the last one's light heavyweight. We're going to move down to middleweights. So we got Mr. Vicious versus No Nickname. Let's tell you about Brundage, Mr. No Nickname. First, 7-2, 3 knockouts, 3 submissions, but knocked out once. 1-1 in the UFC, 1 via submission. 0-1 in the Contender Series. He's gone loss, win, loss, win over his last 4. Was the regional champ, used to fight up at light heavyweight. Striking stats in his favor, but he has a negative strike differential of 0.33, plus 104 for him. Trayshawn Gore, Mr. Vicious, 3-1, 1 knockout, 1 submission. Never been finished in a fight. 0-1 in the UFC, 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter, 3 inches reach on Brundage, 1.6 times more active landing strikes, but these guys don't have much of a sample size here. He's been outstruck minus 3.67 strikes per minute, but that's just based off of one fight. Grappling stats in his favor, minus 125. I guess I'm going Gore, but really, he's only had 4 fights, so I haven't seen a heck of a lot from him, and I don't watch the Ultimate Fighter because no one watches it but Dan. I'm going to go Gore unless Dan has a reason why I shouldn't.
I don't know that I have a reason that you shouldn't. I agree with you in like having kind of a limited view of how Trayshawn Gore looks, because here's the thing about Trayshawn Gore and why I'm up and down on it. First of all, he looked really, really good on The Ultimate Fighter. He beat the hell out of Ryder Newman, like blasted that dude's face. And then he beat up Gilbert Urbina. The problem with both of those guys is just like both of them were kind of a little green and definitely couldn't handle the punches he was throwing. And then you follow that up with his fight with Brian Battle, which like, again, Brian Battle, you know, he's good, but kind of unproven in what we've seen him fight. You know, we saw him beat Petrovsky on the show, but you know, like the show is kind of its own weird microcosm of a real fight world. So like, I don't really know what to think of Trayshawn Gore, but the thing I will say is Trayshawn Gore had a little bit of trouble with the grappling of Brian Battle, which is kind of surprising given that, you know, like Brian Battle, it was supposed to be in there is like the less strong guy, the less good striker or the less good grappler. But like Battle took him down, which is, you know, already kind of alarming. And spent 3.5 minutes on top of him. He didn't do much in the striking realm there once it got to the ground. But it is kind of alarming that Trayshawn Gore was held down that long by Brian Battle, a guy who I don't think of as being a particularly skilled wrestler. And he didn't get much of his own wrestling going in that time either. And he's up against Cody Brundage, a guy who's known for his wrestling. He just tapped out Dolce Lugiambula. It's such a tight fight, which is why we see these odds here, and we just kind of don't know a lot about it. All that being said, I sounded like I was shit-talking Trayshawn Gore that whole time. I am going to take him, too.
You were.
Yeah, I am going to take him anyway. I think he's got the better... Man, I think he's probably got the better boxing by a mile, and I think he's got enough wrestling that he's just going to stay out of trouble. And, like, Brundage, man, like, is going to need that, like, big submission moment or something here to finish it. And I like Cody Brundage, but I don't think he's going to get against Trayshawn Gore. So I'm going to take Gore here, but I don't feel good about this pick on either side of it, really.
You were kind of downplaying Brian Battle, too. He's that loss is H-ball. For Gore as well. Battle. Maybe he's still not a grappler, but he's a relentless fighter, so I don't mind him losing to that. So Cody Brennan is no Brian Battle. So we'll go with Gore as a slight favorite here, but doesn't sound like either of us are very confident in the pick. All right, next one. Speaking of confidence in picks, women's flyweight, Antonina Shevchenko versus Courtney Casey. Listening to your podcast helped me realize which one of these fighters I have more confidence in, which changed my pick. We'll talk with Cast Iron Casey first. 10-9, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. She's been submitted twice. 6-8 in the UFC. She's had a lot of hard luck with decisions. She's won 1 of her last 3 and 2 of her last 5. So 1-2 and 2-3. However, she did win her last fight. Used to fight at strawweight. This one's up at flyweight, despite what you... This one is at flyweight. 3 years younger than Shevchenko, more active striker, positive strike differential, plus 0.43, plus 145 coming back in Casey. La Pantera, Shevchenko, sister of the champ, 9-4, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been knocked out once, submitted once. 3-4 in the UFC. She's only won 1 of her last 4. Last 2 fights she has been finished in. She's 1-0 in the Contender Series, used to fight up at a bantamweight. Was a Muay Thai champion and a Taekwondo champion multiple times over for both of those. 2002 was her pro MMA debut. She's an inch taller than Casey. Her positive strike differential of plus 0.84. Grappling stats in her favor, minus 175. I'm going with Casey. I just have more confidence in her performances, even though she, like I said, she tends to end up on the wrong side of a lot of decisions. Hopefully it doesn't work here. But yeah, Shevchenko just is not panned out in the UFC, especially looked especially bad as of late. And I like getting some plus money here, so let's give me Casey.
Yeah, I'm gonna ride with Courtney Casey as well. Here's one of the things I don't particularly love about Shevchenko is like she sometimes looks like she only wants to throw in the situations that she wants to throw in.
Like, you know, like sister?
Because her sister creates situations for herself. I think the problem I have with Antonina is she's like, I'm going to go throw some clinch strikes. And until she's in the clinch, she's not going to throw anything. You know, like, or I'm going to go get some work done on the ground, and she's not going to do anything until it's there. She doesn't really create her own opportunities. And the thing I've noticed lately about Courtney Casey, especially in the Liana Jojoua fight, She knew she had gotten some rough luck on the judges' scorecards, and whether you think all of those are rough luck or, you know, just some of them, or none of them, maybe you just think she's a whiny complainer, but like she decided I need to make these judges like me more, and she does it with more volume and coming forward. And for that, I really appreciate that, because I think that that's going to give Shevchenko some problems here. Also, I'm trying to remember who exactly posted it. I think it was, is it Aaron Bronstetter? Aaron Bronstetter, the yes, Canadian Aaron guy. Bronstetter. Yeah, the Canadian dude. Oh, by the way, I just looked it up. Courtney Casey threw 257 strikes against Liana Jojoa.
She's going to bring it. That's one of the reasons I'm picking her. She's going
to
bring it.
Yeah, she's not afraid to bring it. So he posted anyway, Aaron Bronstetter on Twitter, that if you had put $100 on every women's underdog in 2022 so far, you'd be up $900. Which, like, I mean, hey, let's ride with a women's underdog here. You know, like, in addition to thinking the breakdown works, also the math works. So, I'll take Courtney Casey here with you.
What was that math again? Give it one more time.
Yeah, it was all of the, if you put $100 on every women's underdog so far this year, right, every fight, just every single underdog, blindly put $100 on them, you'd be up $900 on the year.
Fantastic. Yeah. Someone mentioned on Top Turtle that women's underdogs are coming through big time. So there we go. Will we have another one coming up? We'll see. I have a feeling Dan may be leading on another one coming up, but we'll see if I am. All right, let's move up, down, up, down, up. Yes, up to bantamweight, and we're switching genders. Bantamweights, Ayman Zahabi versus Ricky Turkios. So we got Pretty Ricky versus the brother of Faraz, I think is his nickname, Zahabi. Let's tell you about Zahabi first. 8-2, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions, been knocked out once. 2-2 in the UFC, won his last fight via knockout. Has not fought in over a year, February of 2021. Sadly, that has been the story of his career. He does not fight very often. 2012 was his pro MMA debut, and he's fought a whole 10 times in the decade. Negative striking differential of minus 1.09 in the UFC, plus 155. Pretty Ricky, 11-2, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, 1-0 in the UFC, went 2 straight in 3 of 5. 2-0 on the Ultimate Fighter and the champion of the season. 1-0 on Bellator, regional champion. Inch of height, 3 inches of reach, 6 years younger than Zahabi, so all that in his favor. 2.5 times more active landing strikes as well. That's based off of one UFC fight, though. He outstruck his opponent in that fight of 2.77 strikes per minute, so almost 3 strikes per minute. Grappling stats are also in his favor, small sample size, minus 190. Go ahead.
So first of all, I'm just going to say, I'm going to take Ricky Turcios, but I really hate this number. When I saw this fight posted, I actually thought to myself, I was like, oh, sweet, they're probably going to underestimate Turcios here. And I actually kind of like him in this spot to win. So I was thinking, like, you might be able to grab him at, like, plus 110 or plus 120, and people would be sleeping on him. Does he have Ultimate Fighter hype? Is that a thing?
Maybe he's mesmerized people with that cosmic way that he talks.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Like, there's not yes, much yeah. better, not much better than listening to, like, a Ricky Turcios interview. But yeah, like, I have always kind of been a person who's sort of championed Ayman Zahabi being an underrated guy. And I think he's being underrated again here at plus 160. I think if you personally out there are listening and you like Ayman Zahabi, pull the trigger on plus 160. I think that's a reasonable play. I'm going to take Turcios just because I think, like, Turcios' grappling is going to bother him enough, and Turcios' pace is going to bother him enough that he's just going to get after it. But yeah, like, man, Turcios isn't a guy I'm circling for, like, a daily fantasy lineup. He's certainly not somebody I'm circling for a recommended play, but, you know, ultimately I'm going to pick him to win this one.
Yeah, I'm picking Pretty Ricky as well, but I second all of what Dan said. I'm not a fan of the number. So, all right. Main event of prelims. It's actually flyweight. Someone incorrectly said it's strawweight. So
Calvillo's. No, it doesn't. So I'm glad you mentioned this, because Calvillo had mentioned that she was thinking about going back down to strawweight, and I've never heard anything about Nina Nunes wanting to go up to flyweight, so I didn't even look it up, and I just assumed they went down. And I did get somebody sent me a correction afterwards saying, hey, you know that Nunes Calvillo fight's happening up at flyweight. Nunes has gone up. Since then, I'll save some of my analysis for later, but you go ahead and run it down now.
No, I wasn't trying to dunk on you there. I just wondered if it changed things for you at all, because Calvillo was struggling at strawweight. So anyhow,
it does a little bit, and I'll tell you how in a second.
But it is nice to dunk on you once in a while, because usually you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong often. No.
Just ask his wife. All right, women's flyweight, Cynthia Calvillo versus Nina Nunes. Knee. Answer off. All right, we'll talk about Nunes first. Do you know her nickname, Dan?
Is it Strina or something
like
that?
Yes, the Strina. That's the first I've heard of that. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
It's Strina. It's like not her name or okay. Anyhow, that's her nickname, the Strina. She's 10-7, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's been submitted twice, 4-4 in the UFC, lost 2 straight fights, last one via submission. Has not fought since April 2021. Has not won a fight since she became a mother, I think. Last one was December of 2018. I think she's had her and Menendez's child since then, right?
She had her child in between the Tatiana Suarez and Mackenzie Dern fights.
Right. So there you go. She lost to top shelf opponents, though. Dan just mentioned them. But still, has not won a fight. We're into the fourth year, or it's almost been 4 years. 2010 was her debut in MMA professionally. In Charlotte Calvillo, striking stats in her favor. She outstrikes her opponents plus 1.14 strikes per minute, plus 128. Calvillo, 9-4-1, 2 knockouts, 3 submissions, been knocked out twice. 6-4-1 in the UFC. She lost 3 straight fights, last 2 via TKO. Her last win was June of 2020, so over 2 years. By my math, used to fight at strawweight. She missed weight twice in the UFC. 2 years younger than Nunes. That's Calvillo. It's sneaky old. I remember I've spoke about that on a past podcast. Grappling stats in her favor. She outstrikes her opponent barely, plus 0.17, minus 155 on this. My pick? I think it's my pick, right?
It is your pick.
All right. I flip-flopped this. I think I flip-flopped again. I don't really have faith in either fighter because Nunes is – I went off of Nunes because it's been so damn long since she's won a fight, but I think I have more faith in her actually coming out and putting on a good performance than I have of Calvillo. And once again, an underdog, women's underdog. So that's fine. Let's do it, Dan. I'm taking the Strina, whatever that means.
I'm going to take Nina Nunes, too. And when you said it was going up to flyweight, I actually found more faith in Nina Nunes than I had before going up a weight class. Because, you know, first of all, I think she was already kind of a big woman, right? She's like 5'5". And I don't know if you've seen pictures of her. She's got a whole bunch of pictures on her Instagram working out with Tony Gravely, and she's looking buff. She looks like she put a ton of muscle on. So it's not just like, I'm sick of this weight cut, I'm going up to 25. It was like, buff up and get to 125 the right way. And I will say this too. I think notoriously the thing people underrate about Nina Nunes is like, she has incredible grappling defense. Like, I know we're talking about her getting submitted by Mackenzie Dern. She did stuff Mackenzie Dern once before that. So it was, you know, Dern officially goes 1 out of 2. You go to the fight before that, Tatiana Suarez went 4 of 13 on Nunes. That means Nunes stuffed Tatiana Suarez, one of the people who I think is one of the best wrestlers in women's MMA, period. She stuffed her 9 out of 13 times. That's incredible. Go to her win before that when she fought Claudia Gadelha, another person with extremely good wrestling. Gadelha 2 of 10. So, like, we're here talking about Nina Nunes, somebody who's notoriously always had really good takedown defense. And she's outstruck a lot of those people. Like, she badly outstruck Claudia Gadelha. She put an absolute beating on Angela Hill on the feet. Like, she's just very sharp and technical on the feet. And she's got good takedown defense. I think people sleep on how good that is. And I also think that those two are the perfect recipe to beat somebody like Cynthia Calvillo, somebody who relies on her grappling and has kind of looked like a fish out of water on the feet, especially at flyweight. Like, she's looked really bad at flyweight, which is part of the reason why I thought she was going back to strawweight. It is like, I don't think she looks good up there. She's been beat really badly by granted, Caitlin Chookagian and Jessica Andrade, you know, not the worst losses in history, but then like got beat up by Andrea Lee really badly, which, you know, we've since found out that like beating up Andrea Lee like that is maybe not as hard as it looks, because Vivian Arroyo took care of her with no problem. So I don't know what Calvillo is at this point, and I'm actually more confident that I know what Nina Nunes is.
Yeah, that's basically what my breakdown was. Yeah, just more confident in Nunes coming through. I had a few picks like that where I just more confident in the fighter over their opponent. Both, strangely, both women are going to be fighting way lower level competition than they have in their past couple fights, because you mentioned basically who's who of women's fighting that they've lost to in their last two fights each of them. So but yeah, Nunes is our pick, so we agree on that. We gave you what, two dogs? We both agreed on our dogs, both women's. Maybe we're gonna ride this trend until it isn't a trend anymore and it turns on us and destroys our bankrolls. But we're taking the women dogs here, and that's our picks for the prelim. We're done with the prelim picks already for you, but we will be back in years before you know it. Back to you tomorrow with the main card picks, Hungry Jong parlay. Do you have a juicy one for us this week, Dan?
Not as juicy as last week's, but I've got some good ones in there.
Last week's
didn't
hit, so.
Part of it, the 7-1 part hit.
It's true. So, well, we'll come with you, come at you with all that. Episode 166. I'm sure there'll be some nonsense involved, probably. My voice holds out. Until then, actually, you don't have to do much until then, because it's going to be your ears in a few hours. But you can read our stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Follow our Twitter sites, SGPNMMA and Jeff Fox Writer and Gumby Vreeland. If you want to buy merch, buy our merch. If you want to give us a review. I'm not going to, like I said, you're our guest. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But if you want to do it and you want me to give you a call out on the show, you want a show dedicated to you, then by all means do that. So until we get into your ears again tomorrow, I will remain Jeff Kokramanov Fox, and he will remain Gumby God Vreeland, and we will be back in your ears in a couple hours. Bye.